Hey, PG fans, it's John Bollinger. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Have you ever seen the cool PG t-shirts I wear on rig rundowns? Well, now you can snag your very own PG merch too. T-shirts, posters, keychains, and much more. Head to shop.premierguitar.com and check it out.
Chris Keith for Premier Guitar, hanging out in Nashville's Mercy Lounge with Jonathan of Torch. Jonathan, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Happy to be here with you guys.
Thank you so much. Jonathan is much more than just a guitar player. He obviously used to play bass in the band. He's got some other things he's going to talk to us about in terms of production and gear-wise, but let's just start right here with the guitar that has many nods of familiarity, but definitely its own thing. So talk to me, Jonathan.
So this was something I came up with a good friend, Joe Kuntz. He was in some South Florida bands like Cavity. He used to be in the band AAA, like really raunchy punk stuff. And he just got really into building guitars. And I played some of his Maserites and a couple of other guitars that he made. And they were outstanding. And on the record that we just put out, Admission, I had done a lot of stuff with this whole deal.
Yeah.
And it was a lot to do with a good friend of mine, Max, lent me a... GNL F100, and it has this, you know, a GNL, I guess, trim that really was too much fun to play, and it ended up like really doing a lot on the record. And later I'm like, shit, I need to do that live.
Yeah.
And Joe had offered to maybe collaborate or like, you know, maybe like trade studio time for guitar. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And super kind dude, Robot Graves, he sent me this neck. And I was like, Joe, I have a neck, let's make the body. And he had made a Maserite that I really liked, but I'm into the guitars with this, you know, kind of carve and contouring and just big on like not, you know, being uncomfortable live.
Yeah.
You know?
Looks like an old muscle car.
Yeah, right?
Sexy curves.
So, yeah, very, you know, I'm from Miami, so.
Yeah,
So I incorporated, you know, the Maserite stuff that he had done that I've really been a fan of, the neck, which has a certain tone, and I guess your mind's at ease when you're traveling, you know, checking in stuff. You never know how it's going to come out on the other side. But always loved the L500L from Bill Lawrence. The Mastery was something I was turned on to by my friend Bob, Bob Bruno from Best Coast. I played a Jaguar that he had a Mastery on. I'm like, shit. I was like that guy that maybe played a guitar. You told him to play a little too long.
Yeah.
But I just love, you know, that the fact that it's like there's a certain glide. It stays in tune great. And it has a tone. I will say it has like a tone.
You know? Really?
Yeah.
I know that you've always kind of been another Florida company, ECG.
Yeah, yeah.
With the aluminum necks. Like, what do you like about that? Obviously, the travel-wise and the consistency sake, but tonality, what do you dig about that?
I think there's a certain depth. There's like a whoa. You know, like,
ooh.
Like, yeah. This, like, it's almost like if you're in the studio and you put a 2 or 4 dB boost at like a 40 or 35 hertz bell on a bass or something. You always have that glow wherever you're at on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this kind of has that, and it's a certain sustain that's really like a signature of the aluminum style necks. But yeah, I mean, the guitar is definitely designed after like what I needed to translate the stuff that was done on the record with multiple guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some of the stuff was pretty intuitive. Other stuff, like on the spot, it was fun to like figure out. Like, you know, literally he put a piece of paper on top of it, a guitar body, before staining it all in. Like we drew the pickguard on. It was a cool collaboration with my friend, you know?
What body wood did you end up going with here?
This is mahogany.
Okay.
Yeah, he does all the Kuntz custom guitars. They're all mahogany.
Okay.
I mean, he does whatever, like, or like, you know, you can do like maple tops or whatever. But I think like the default wood he gravitates towards is mahogany, which mm-hmm. I have no problem
yeah.
with.
Yeah,
you know.
And what do you really dig about the L500 and the bridge there?
It's just like you can get a ton of gain, but there's a good balance between body tone and output. So you're not exchanging high gain for body thickness and clarity. The first time I ever heard one of these, so it's in an older Gibson, which I believe they were issued. I don't know if it was the Marauder, or there was a certain line of Gibsons that were issued from factory with Bill Lawrence. And once I heard that, I was tracking actually our front of house guys, old band, with our bass player. I was just changed. I'm like, the clarity, no matter how much gain, the dynamics, it sounded just as saturated or like aggressive, yet as natural as like anything. I don't know, it was just like aggressive, saturated, clear, dynamic, no, like it's not noisy. The percussiveness, you know, playing heavier stuff and like retaining like a nice compression that was like very loose, very light. You know, it wasn't like overly.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed, seen you guys numerous times live and just listen to the records, is all that is there, and then obviously the heaviness and the density, but there's also an articulation.
Yeah,
that comes through.
I mean, and then we'll get to this stuff, which was it was just like a voyage going from guitar. I mean, sorry, from bass to guitar, I was just like, I don't like anything. I'm like, I don't like any of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, so this is like from the ground up, I'm like, damn. It's like back to square one, you know?
Well, let's keep moving along.
Okay, so.
What's the next guitar that you kind of go to on a night-to-night basis?
Go over here. Okay, so this is a very, 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 very important guitar. Good friend Sasha Dunnable, of Dunnable, obviously, had me come over. This is a dog here, my dog Uli. He's fuzzy. He once said, hey, if you're ever in town, let me know and you can come by and check out some stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was living in LA for a little under three years. And he hit me up out of the blue after a tour. It was the first tour I had done on guitar, and I had a certain guitar. I don't know if you bleep it or whatever. There's a certain guitar that was really awesome.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was like, hey, that's the one.
Yeah.
I went through the whole tour knowing like it's not the one. And I was like, shit.
It's like being with a girlfriend that you know you got to break up with.
Yeah.
You don't know how or when.
Yeah. And you're like, and then like, you know, I guess every night halfway through the set, we switch guitars. And I would realize like, wow, this, you know, Fender was nice enough to send me a Telecaster. I'm like, the scale length, the neck, it just felt right.
Yeah.
So luckily Sasha hit me up one day. I was like, he's invited me over. I'm like, hey, I'm actually working on these heads. Maybe I can bring over the head too. He's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
So we hung out. He tried the amp. I tried this guitar. And I got to tell you, this is the first thing that felt right. And it's still like when I'm on it, you know, it's just like, okay. It's just very intuitive. It doesn't feel alien. It's weird because going from bass to guitar, the guitar I had for a while, it just felt like a ukulele or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't that much shorter. It's just, you know, like a little shorter scale. But I wasn't into it, to be honest. And this sounded right. It felt right. Though even the body, the way the wood resonates, this is like forever not going anywhere.
Go ahead.
No. And I'm actually, you know, having committed so much of that trem stuff to the record, we're actually, he's almost done with another Cyclops. Some really cool colors, you know, and it's gonna have a mastery as well.
Killer.
Like I like got bit by the mastery snake,
and now you're done down that wormhole.
At least I just need like, and I like I'm like I want to be playing this guitar, I want to be playing both, but the mastery just put me in a corner.
Yeah,
you know, and
I understand that. But do you know what the actual scale length on this and
the
other one is?
It's like a Fender scale.
Okay, so it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, and the way he sets where he sets a bridge helps with tuning. There's certain like things that really don't work on shorter scales for us.
Yeah.
You know, the low tuning, the octave tuning.
Yep.
It's a pain in the ass. But you know, even some higher stuff, like if you do this thing where like the D drones over the G. Like, it just, to me, anything shorter than a Fender scale, it has a problem staying in tune, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, this is a perfect example of I have this knob in my backpack. I was going to put it on. Sorry. but I do have it. But yeah, I just think it's an exciting time with gear in general because you have a lot of people have spent a lot of time on the road making records. Just really honing in on what they feel should be available now.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's guitars, pedals, amps, cabs, you know, drum companies. It's just a really exciting time where you pick things. I picked this thing up. I'm like, holy shit. Like, yeah, that's it. This is it. And then I was like, just waiting. Like, he's like, yeah, that's yours if you want it. I'm like, yeah. And, you know, I mean, shit, wrote a bunch of songs and it's on a record now. And tracked all my guitars with this, you know, like all the rhythm guitars, some of the lead stuff. And yeah, I'm just excited for the other one with this. I don't want to touch this. This is like a special.
Yeah.
Like very special guitar. But yeah.
And those are the Bill Lawrence's again?
Well, this is one of his. I believe they're either the Slug Wolves or the Dire Wolves.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I might be butchering that, sorry. But the L500L again. Okay. It's just, it feels, it sounds right to me.
It's consistent.
Yeah, and it's just, as it has a nice compression, but it's open. It's not like fizzy, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a very, it lets the guitar roar. You know,
lets it do
whether
its
you
thing.
Play clean or heavily distorted or somewhere in between. It cleans up real well. It's nice.
And what strings do you guys run?
We
on
use
this?
Dunlop. Okay. They're very kind to us, and they're patient with our ridiculous gauge stuff that we do. And if I'm not mistaken, I always have to look at the box. It's like 70, 52, 46, and then like 17, 15, 10 or something.
Okay.
Or
maybe it's like almost
17,
like a,
13, 10.
So like it's like a hybrid of like bottom heavy, top light.
Yeah, yeah. We experimented with like other brands like 75, 80. It got kind of ridiculous for a second, but I don't know, man. The Dunlops, the way they wind them or something. We're like the most in tune we've ever been. It sounds right. They last like a great amount of time. You know, there's no surprises. Very consistent in a good way. And yeah, they're the sound of the record, sound live. And I couldn't be happier.
Cool.
You know?
And potentially this is the only pothole I think we could run into, Jonathan, because we're already running, I feel like we're on a good level right now, but do you care to divulge any tuning information to the audience?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we it's not a problem. There's another, we have two tunings, but the one I have no problem talking about, I guess, is basically we tune standard, but the low string is actually an octave of the fifth string, which is, as we all know, an A. So it's A, A, D, G, B, E. So not
simple.
That,
yeah,
you
not
know,
that hidden.
Yeah, just like, whoop, octave, and good luck, stay in tune, you know?
Get the Dunlops.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel, you know, I've seen bands that use octave tunings, and sometimes like, you're kind of like tweaking it a little bit as you're getting through the song. Sometimes you're like, ooh, this thing's ready. And other times you're like, oh, shit, this is gonna be rough. You know, so we did TV recently, and
Seth Meyers.
Yeah, luckily the song we played, I'm like on like high strings. I'm like, woo, I have no stress. And then we switch over and we did the online exclusive, which is the bomb string, and that my guitar for that stays in tune very well. Which I guess we'll go to that one.
Well,
now.
Yeah, explain the bomb string as we go to the third guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's something I noticed gets dropped or gets associated with you specifically.
Yeah, it's definitely
jointly.
A sound you don't forget. Maybe. I don't know. Well, it started with Floor. It started with Floor, and they were just like practicing, and a string kind of popped. And Steve or Anthony or both just, I think it happened to one of the guitars. And the guitar player was like, man, that sounds like lightning. So for years, they were like tweaking it. They were kind of like hovering around different tensions. And then Henry Wilson, the drummer on the self-titled and Oblation, the last record they put out, he was like, all right, let's organize this shit. Let's figure this out. Let's make it consistent, you know? So they just came up with, it's just like the other tuning, but got my strap locks here. it's the same as, you lose a string, but it's like, at least for, there's different variants. They tune a certain way, we tune a certain way.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of similar. So it's like A, A, D, G, B, we lose the high E.
Uh-huh.
And then this is something that's taken a long time to figure out, but I think we have it, you know? And it can be heard on records and live. But yeah, it's just a 70 also. So this guitar is actually, you know, to me it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
But it's like 70, 70, 52, 46. Man. And then we jump down to like, I guess like 13, 10 or like 17, 11.
Okay.
Something like that. But yeah, it gets a certain sound.
What song does this get brought out for?
For
songs?
Yeah, on the new record, it's What Was, Inferno. I think that's it for the new record. Yeah. I think so. And then like other ones, like Charge of the Brown Recluse is the one that, you know, an older people. One. And there's other ones like, Annihilation Affair from the Restarter record.
Yeah,
Undone is another one we play live. It's more of an upbeat, but it's really fun to play. And everybody's been very respectful, and they know that it came from the Floor camp. And people do different variations, but it's cool that, you know, it's a unique South Florida thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a family thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool. Keep it within the family.
Exactly, yeah.
Speaking of family, you got a new family of gear here, dude. This is exciting for you. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second of all, tell us about your new company.
Okay, so this all came. It's all came to be switching from basic guitar. I was used to like sound pressure, air moving, feeling it, having something that like grip the notes. And
you're SVT guy, right?
Yeah, yep. And we still have it up there till maybe get another head up there. But yeah, it's, you know, it's every once in a while it's like, you know, waves a flag and we have to help them out a little bit. But
yeah,
tried and true, it's always, you know, up there with us. But the first thing we did was actually the bass pedal, the NX bass channel. And it's two pedals in one. It's all like the bass pedal is like Class A B discrete. It's all hand wired stuff. Okay. It's basically turret board inside pedals. Mm. And you know, guitar players immediately are like buying them or like, hey, what's up with guitar stuff? I'm like, we're getting there, because I was very particular about the guitar line.
Yeah.
So after the bass pedal, we finalized the head, which the head is a Class A B discrete hand wired head. And the way we just, I'm like, how can I sum this up so people like get it right away? It's a quad voice dual channel all tube head. So, but by channels, it gets a little interesting because each channel, it's its own amp. So it's two amps in one box.
Okay.
So you have stacked turret boards, and you have one, channel one is symmetrical clipping, and channel two is asymmetrical. And I like playing through both because we do...
at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have two amps in one box. On the worst day, it's 130 watts on high power. Low power, we've done them for people at like 1 watt. Half a watt, 60, 50, you know, whatever you want. But basically, you can play to two heads at once in this 46-pound, handmade, all discreet.
Is it like
enclosure?
Something that you would like? They interact with each other. The channels do. Like as you change the bass of one, then you have to kind of not compensate.
It's there's some advanced stuff going on there.
Okay.
The partner I teamed up with, you know, and just dove into the design and all the development with is my partner Gary Phillips.
Yep.
And he has his own company, Overtone Works, and he is like 45 plus years designing a lot of secret boxes for a lot of people we all know.
Yeah.
So I'm, on the other hand, a recording engineer just like him. We're both touring musicians, and we're like, why don't we build something that's very versatile, or extremely versatile, and have it be something that gives you all this, not like, oh, this is it, this is all you need, have fun, or that's it, your staple sound that as soon as you strum a chord, people are going to know what you're using.
Yeah.
Where this, people are like, hold on, it sounds different. But it has a full range. It has extended highs and lows, but it's never muddy. You can use two channels, there's no phasing or comb filtering.
Okay.
It's all very intuitive and simple. All the EQs are push-pull,
okay.
So you can get like a modern up-close sound, or you can soften the edge and get, you know, different overlaps within frequency bands with the mids and the highs. You pull the bass out, it drops an octave. Channel one has this cool option that's a six-position aviation switch we put here, and
there's notches. It's not like a
It's a
sweep.
It's a six-point switch.
And what's going on with that?
So basically, if you start more or less in the middle, you're already a bit thicker than most amps.
Okay.
And you can go down three or up three, and it just gets thicker as you go to the up, and it gets tighter as you go to the bottom. And what's really cool is you can start playing, right? And depending on your tuning, you can switch the voice switch, and you just hear it when there's like this gentle roll off, and when it lines up, your guitar just goes whoop, right up, real clear. And what's kind of cool, if you're trying to go for something real tight and like, you know, clean and jangly, you can go down. You want something warm and buttery, go up. And for gain, you'll get spongier, more vintage towards the top.
Okay.
And then tighter and more, you know, attacky towards the bottom. And you have the gain and the boost. That's a huge amount of gain split into two pots. You can use both, you know, for if you're playing clean or distorted. There's a lot of range on there. It's pretty crazy. And it's still dynamic. With all our circuits, you can be at crazy high gain and you still have like 60 dB like headroom. But it's still intact. It doesn't sound awkward.
Mm.
But there's movement and expression. And I think that's something that I've noticed the crowds feeding off of, where you're just playing harder and the amp's just like going
with it.
And it's pretty, it's a unique experience.
What are the tubes inside of this one?
They're all sourced. I don't know if they sell to the general public, but it's ARS out on the West Coast. And we asked for a very specific, screening process, and like they're really good with that already. And then once they arrive, we screen them even further.
Okay.
Because we have certain requirements and certain, you know, things that we like
things
to.
You're looking for.
Exactly. Per, you know, for the components, like a lot. No, there's no Chinese components. Everything's from the UK, France, Switzerland, Germany. We use oxygen-free silver wire from Japan. There's some Canadian and American stuff in there.
So it's a good melting pot.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, there's a lot of beautiful components out there. A lot of companies might look at what we put into these things and think we're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are, and we're fine with that.
But what, like, specific, like, is it KT-88s?
Oh, no, EO-34s.
Okay.
Yeah. And the going to the channel 2, that one is, like, it just really likes lower tunings, and it grips the hell out of them.
What's too. Explain the range now. That's one that I'm not familiar with.
So the voice is for channel 1.
Yep.
Range is for both. And range, the best way I could describe the range, it's like an aggressive presence. I mean, you can play if you're playing mellow or clean as well, but it's like if you're on day 6 or, you know, whatever tour, and you're like, I could go without changing my strings tonight.
Yeah.
You can bump that thing up, and you're going to get the new string sound.
Huh.
And you can actually get it, once you get it to like 3 o'clock or higher, it gets like really, it's like extremely unveiled, you know, if you have old strings. Now,
yeah.
I have new strings, so I'm under noon. And like most, all the demos and all stuff, people are always like, man, the knobs, nothing's maxed out, you know, and all the EQs are like give or take noon.
Yeah.
And it just really lets the sound of the instrument come through. That's what all the pedals
and the pedals are doing too.
Yeah, it's just like you can actually hear your different instrument that you're plugging in. And you hear the it's just very expressive, and it's either as clean or as dirty as you want.
Cool.
And you can make it sound nasty, smooth.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
The cabs themselves.
I was gonna say cabs and speakers. What's in here?
Yeah. So here we're currently developing our own speakers to just really go to ridiculous levels of low end.
Yeah.
And right now I have a nice set of scumbags that Jim went over his spot and went through every speaker he makes.
I bet.
And we found these, and he actually called me. I was like, hey, I'm wearing some new ones. Come back. And the ongoing theme of the demos was like, every day when I would be there playing with a half sack, like shit would be falling from the low end these things produce. I'm like, I need something that gives more. And he's like, all right. Because he's used to like Marshall guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, this is a whole nother, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
So we ended up with, on the top two here, we have BM55s, which have a really nice mid-range. We have J55s here that have more. It's kind of like a V30, I guess, but it's like smoother, has less of, like, doesn't have the claw, and it goes a little deeper.
Okay.
And then the bottom, I have my favorite set of vintage 30s out of like 6 sets of 4 that I had.
Oh, wow.
I did a test years ago and I hold on to these. But yeah, they're just designed to have like, you know, more dispersion, be way, way less directional than just about any other cab I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. There's actually, they're not harsh, and they really, filter out anything that maybe like speakers might have a bit of, that you might be like, okay, I could do a little less. Like you can actually set your amp flat and you can cruise those knobs and you'll see that it sounds organic and as hyped as you want, but it's very, it sounds just very real, unveiled, and it kind of like filters off some stuff. It gives you like a record-like sound based off what
high fidelity.
Of people have been saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a nice tight sub. You can get it as tight as you want, or you can get it like just pump, like glowing with low end. But it's always projecting, and it's energetic and articulate. So that was something that I took on, you know.
The last thing was, I know the last record you were kind of really dialed into using ceramic speakers for recording is, and
you can hear it.
Yeah, you can hear the difference in this go around.
Yeah, it's very, it's much smoother, it's silkier. It's not any less aggressive.
No.
But it's in like 1,000% less harsh, I think. It's less.
And is that something that you've kind of, because I know that you worked with Gary, right?
Yeah.
During the process of touring, recording, and working, this has got to change. What are some of, what's like the biggest thing that over that time period that you didn't see coming, but as the road may do to you or a studio microscope might happen to be, you're like, oh, this has to change.
I feel like at first it was it needed a little bit more compression. It was like wide open. I needed to have a little bit of the grip.
Yeah.
That's what I call it anyway.
Yeah, the grip.
You know, and I would call him, we're on tour, and I'm like, man, this thing is killer, but I need to turn it up to a certain point. It was a little more picky, you know, and like different sizes of room were changing. And I just needed something that's like could work, could give me the perfect sound in every room. And it was just a little more like, I can't explain it other than like open.
Okay.
And then it just needed a little bit of that nice compression. So we redid some stuff. We got the voicing of channel one changed a bit throughout time. It was cool. It was like I'd call after the sets.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just making R&D. Notes, taking pictures. So it was like on the road, in the studio, in between tours. And by the time we tracked our record, we used the head that Steve's using. And it was just like all the EQs were like 12.5:1. And then a little bit of our dual range boost. And that's the sound of that record through the cabs. Done.
Killer,
you know. And this one is a little, it's hot, it's all the cable links inside the head are a little more figured out,
a little more refined,
so that it's like the sound just got like much, you know, like damn. But it's cool, you know. That's the oldie, so it's a little like, it has like a certain sag and it's a little more distant sounding, which it's cool. I like it. And this is just like right up there, but you can soften it just like that one too.
Cool, man. Well, I'm gonna ask you to grab one of your guitars and let's hear some pedals. All right, Jonathan, you got your beautiful guitar on. Let's hear some noise.
Okay, so this will just be the head. And the way I have it set now, the gain's pretty, you know, I would say at 75% on the head or maybe a little less. And then the pedal, I'm just using it for that extra grime and push. So maybe I can do a test too where like I dial it back a little bit here and use pedal.
Cool, we'll see. Let's hear it.
So this is just the amp. And I will... I'll probably just play the amp and then go to the pedal. So it's set just for that little bit of like, so let me see if I turn this guy down. Maybe I'll do something with the less gain on the head real quick. So I'll turn this down.
It sounds meaty, man.
Thank you, dude. So let's see. So how would we get like, let's see what's happening here. And let me tune that G. The D. Yeah, they say in Florida we have certain places with high humidity.
Oh yeah.
The G is an extra pain in the ass.
Yeah, welcome to Tennessee.
Oh, okay, there
we,
you go.
We get humidity, especially in Nashville specifically.
Yeah, the I feel like these guitars have been chilling for like 2 weeks. I don't think know if anybody's even touched an instrument since the last tour. Yeah, the one thing I'll say, the pedals came out because obviously I was something down the line, but anything that you would stick behind in front of this preamp, it really affected it and would thin it out. So we just felt that, all right, we have to do something that with such a fat preamp, so you know, gotta make sure it retains that. You know,
dude,
gets a little boost there. It's very much set to the way I set it for the live show. It's just like this little lift. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can do a lot on its own, but I'm not relying that on just a pedal alone since I'm not running a clean amp.
Yeah.
So it's cool that, you know, you can have it set for, we had a tour where we were just using clean amps and our fly-in dates, and we'll just plug this in
yeah.
and then put this guy, the dual range boost behind it. That's a Class A discrete 30 dB boost. So it's a clean boost too.
Like yeah. It's almost, just volume, huh?
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. But with the amp, again, I'm just running it so that it just gives me that little push. You know, when you're playing live, you just want that little reach, but
yeah.
It might not work for all the parts, you know, having that extra bit of gain. But
when you want it there, it's there.
Yeah, it's easy to access. Some. Yeah, and we have, this is like the limited edition one that's coming out. It's just same as the other Tetrafed drive, but it's the like the Torch album cover. And then we have
Mission cover.
Yeah, exactly. And then Steve's using the regular, the black and blue, and then we have a gold one that, I don't know, I kind of miss that guy on the pedal board. But let's see. Let's see if it wants to behave real quick. Okay, so now we're in tune. So.
Yep.
So, you know, you can get, and if the mids and all the EQs are really powerful. For us, we want a little bit of that fine line between too tight and loose.
Yeah.
So it's set to like give a little, you know?
A little some sag.
Yeah, just a bit for it work, you know, for our tuning. I feel like if I set my sounds up playing alone, it'll be a little too tight when we play all together. I have to like loosen it up. So you can hear that like, that nice.
You can feel it even too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like well, he's a bass player as well. So it's like two touring bass players, recording engineers. So we like to feel things,
yeah.
But not have it be muddy, you know?
Which is a fine line.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours that goes into this shit, you know?
Cool. What else you got working here?
Let me see, the boost itself is...
You got some Earthquaker stuff here too?
Yeah, I have, for like the lead sound, I am running the Arpanoid, a bit of that on. The Phase 90 I use for certain tracks, it's a part of the closer on the new record, Changes Come.
Okay.
Then I use the Echo Rec as my always on delay, and I use the Avalanche Run as the extra wash and dreaminess.
Okay.
But to be quite honest, I'm actually used to running the effects into the front of the amp, and we're on this tour, I'm using the effects because they're like all discreet and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're really great, but I like the raunch. And
provides.
We sat down with Gary and we did a shootout, and this is a better sound because our effects, you can do series or parallel. So you can either completely replace your sound the second the effects are on, or you can run them in parallel. So your dry signal, that depth and
that
feel that you're, the force,
yeah,
the air.
The force.
It just stays there. The force is always with you.
Yes.
But so I use the dual range boost to... really drive the send after my effects loop.
Okay.
So I'll turn on the effects loop. I have it at a nice blend, and this is like the fine tune. And then the end, so that's the second to last. And then the last thing is this hardwire delay looper that I just like do loops on certain parts and play over.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, at the end of a song, switching over.
Is that like what's going on with Time's Changing?
Time's missing.
Yeah. In the middle of that song where it's kind of building and building, and then you're over top of that.
Yeah, and that's fun to play live.
Okay.
So because, you know, like you start off with this, you know, and there comes the mastery again.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, do so, ride some, and by the end of the part, just like four or five things happening, and it becomes like this ambient wall. But I mean, with the effects loop, it might be a lot clearer because I'm not running in. You're not running like a distortion sandwich where it's like overdrive. Or, you know, or sending it, overdrive effects to preamp distortion, or even just the effects going into the tube preamp distortion. Now it's actually that preamp's getting sent in here. And even today, there's a part that playing live, I'm always like, don't fuck up. And it was like, damn, if you hear things clearer, you might play it better too.
Yeah, you know? Can respond to that.
So
better.
I was like, don't, I was hoping to not be too revealed.
Yeah.
But no, it's like being in a recording studio, and you have like a wet and dry. And it's, you know, this is a true bypass switch to turn on and on. Turn on and on. Apparently I'm only on. turn
on.
The effects on and off.
Okay.
So it feeds the effects. We have a custom cable that comes into the Arpanoid, feeds into the chain. So Phase 90, Echo Rec, Avalanche Run, Dual Range Boost. And then this delay looper, and then the output of this gets returned into the Return of the Imp, and each channel actually has its own effects loop, which you can actually slave out both channels combined, the two heads at once, or each preamp separately, and send that to a power amp or another amp, so you can run, you can multiply your sound. If you're not using effects, where you're going to the front end, you can just send that to an SVT, you can send it to another amp, send it to a power amp, send it to like a DI.
It's a hell of a tool, man.
Yeah, the effects loop matrix is awesome, and it's really unique. I mean, all this stuff, we're not just like, not like tribute circuits or anything like that. They're all like start components and a breadboard, and let's chase it, you know?
I think one last question I got for you, Jonathan, is, you're kind of already alluded to it with the mastery bridge, is Admission. What's going on there pedal-wise?
So Admission is almost like rah, everything.
Everything.
But basically, yeah, it's pretty, the Arpanoid, the Echo Rec, and the Avalanche Run, and the Dual Range Boost. The Dual Range Boost really like amplify, it's the glue. It's like an amazing bus compressor or something. It's like, it compresses as much as it expands and like gives you headroom. It's like it's lift.
Can we hear you play Admission quick? Or sure. Like just a little, taste?
So basically this is what I do before he counts off, hopefully.
Everything's going
and
on.
And I'll even turn this on. So let's see, I reset the gain on the amp, so we'll see what happens.
So fun,
you know, like nice and quiet, which is it's something new to me, you know, to like, we've only been a company for 2 years, but like that's the idea.
Yeah,
make it easy, less headaches live. Your sound guy's not like, oh shit, or you're like, why is the noise louder than my riffs? Or every time you stop, your amp is just noisy, which is just we don't deal with that shit. No. So even with all that, you know, you turn off and you're good, you're clean, it's that simple. And I could, you know, demonstrate also, I guess this is still on, so, you know, like, you know, you would swear, like, and I like hearing the ring back here.
Yeah.
You know, so do you know I'm not using a gate? I hate gates. No offense to gate makers, but I don't, it's an interference. It's like, ugh.
It's a neutering of your tone.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, I don't want to have too big a board. I mean, this is my shit. I guess it's growing, but it's what I need to do.
It's your little playground.
Exactly, yeah. Well, John, as long as everybody's happy, I'm happy.
Well, yeah.
Happy playground of sonic proportions.
Safe space.
Yeah.
Jonathan, thank you. We're going to breeze through Steve's stuff real quick.
Awesome.
All right, other side of the stage. You are not seeing anything wrong here.
Yes.
Actually, Steve went and stepped out to get some food.
Yes.
Jonathan is apparently know more about gear, so Steve kindly had Jonathan talk about his gear.
Apparently,
Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, I'm here. On this side now.
What's about this V? Because I've known Steve to play like ECGs.
Yes,
kind of,
and he still
exclusively.
Does. He still does for the bomb string tuning.
Okay.
So the second half of the set, he goes to his EGC, which he's had for years.
What's this bad boy?
This is a gorgeous Flying V by JLM. He's based in, I want to say he comes out to Columbus, Ohio, but I think he's in Indiana. I'm not sure. But they're great guitars.
Looks cool.
They collaborated. He had this really sweet SG made. That we used on the record, and they're all neck through, they have this nice, like, chunky sustain and tone, which is fantastic. Really works for our sound. And then Steve always wanted a Flying V, so this is kind of like, I think, like an oversized V or something, and I don't know if it's like the deal with maple or whatever. It looks like a maple top.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it looks flame maple.
But yeah, he does awesome woodwork. This almost looks like some crazy, like, I don't know, dresser from like, I don't know, Vlad the Impaler's castle or some shit. But it's gorgeous, man, and they sound great. It's a great contrast with what I have going on the other side.
Do you know the pickups that are in this
one? I think they're just standard Gibson.
Okay.
Like what you would find in a Les Paul custom.
Maybe 57 Classics or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Bunkers.
Yeah, so, I mean, But he likes them. It really works well. I think it helps me set my sound to be less tight, you know? So it's kind of like this nice, warm, flowing riff type of sound where it's just like, wow, okay, you know, silky thickness.
And then, well, we've already kind of talked about the company, but you said this is one of the first Amphitests.
Yeah, I'll switch your spots here.
Yeah,
sure. This is the original NX MK2. It's one of the first set of like three or four.
Okay.
And this is the oldie. But yeah, this is...
You said no effects loop?
No effects. There is, but it's not up to par with mine.
Oh, okay.
With the new ones that I've all shipped. But he's going straight in. You can hear a little bit of the buzz from the pedals, like most people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after this tour, we're going to take it back in, to the shop, and we're going to add that effects loop that I'm using over there for that real silent.
Cool.
You know, we get a kick of that, a kick out of that, where we'll be silent, and then we'll just fire it on, and it's just like people have no idea that it's coming, you know.
Yeah.
I love that. Just like the whole dynamic shift. You can have in a space and just sonically fill it. You know?
Right?
Like you can feel the room, just like
you're taking the air up.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we're after with these designs, you know.
But, and same cab, at least in configuration.
Yeah, yeah, same cabs. The top cab, same thing. It has the scumbags.
Yep.
This cab actually belongs to Eric, our bass player who plays in Wrong, and we're on the tour store, and he's like, I like that cab. I need that cab. So we're like, hey, can Steve borrow one of your So this is his. Thank you, Eric. And bottom cab is kind of an array of different speakers.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we're rocking the full stacks. And it's a cool tonal contrast because I feel like mine might be a little brighter. And I feel like it's almost like if you were looking at a frequency band, he probably has a bump maybe a little higher or lower than me, and I'm like right on the other side or something.
And you guys kind of choreograph that purposely, knowing that, okay, he's here and here?
No, it's just like what happened, and okay. We're like, oh, wow, that's really good. Because
yeah.
It stays clear, there's a nice stereo width, and it just makes it sound wider, and the room or on a record, it breathes more because everyone's not living in the same space.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he runs this, so he's basically
pretty
more
similar.
He's very simple. Definitely more of a gear junkie, but I tell him like, hey man, use the Tetra Fet for like louder dynamic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have enough gain there, but we don't necessarily. We also like certain stops to be quiet. You know, or like naturally quiet.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little like lowered. Sometimes because of our tuning, we get like this lower feedback. That's nice. It's like kind of soothing.
It's like an overtone.
Yeah, it's like a dial tone. I don't know. So he just runs the amp, and I can show you that sound. And
yeah,
then
let's hear the amp and then the pedal.
Yeah, and I feel like the way we played the parts, my pedal is more of a gentle lift or more of a saturation thing, where his, I'm anticipating to be a little bit more of a jump. Because I'll be doing like
more intentional.
Like for whatever reason, I ended up doing a bunch of leads on this record. So, you know, when he kicks in, like it needs to be more like boom.
Because I'm going. Rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what his rhythm sounds like. We also set the tone. We set the tone back. Something I didn't mention earlier, to try to get like this extra like warm sound, and maybe that's where the range on the amps comes in handy because you get that bite and that brightness, but there's like a lower tone. Coming off the instrument when you roll back a bit, you know?
Is that something you picked up? I know you used to do that when you played bass in the band. So it's kind of like you're translating that from bass to guitar.
And Steve has been doing that since like the early 90s too,
okay.
I think. So I kind of like picked that up off him. And then I just think that if you can mess with the tone and the volume easily on a pickup, it really tells you the quality of the pickup,
mm-hmm.
especially if you can like glide up or down with the tone. It's just like a little bit higher, a little lower. Like you can really feel and hear the quality of the pickup.
And probably the combination of that and the pot too.
Yeah.
Sometimes pots can be shit.
There's some great Born pots that I'll start on too. Like,
that are smooth.
Yeah, man. I have a friend of mine has Gary actually. He has it in a bass that he's had since like the 60s.
Dang.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Like a 62 jazz bass. And he's like, no need to, like, doesn't need to deox it, nothing. So there's some good stuff out there, you know?
Yeah.
But okay, so we'll hear the, you know, his regular rhythm sound. Hey, man, his action is really different. I'm a high action guy, he's a low action guy.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Right? So we'll hear it and I'll turn this guy on, we'll see the lift or whatever. We'll be right back. I think fuck the way
hey,
he,
man. That sounds good.
So I think I was like, like it's so low for me, and I think I play much harder than him, so it's starting to like really get spongy. But yeah, that, I think that's all these things that add up, you know, where like he probably plays lighter, and I play harder.
Yeah.
And the way he has it set, I mean, it really, when we're playing together, it feels good. But yeah, you can definitely hear like the lift, and he has it set so that the level is at about what, like 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Highs, one, mids, three, bass, one.
So still mid-heavy.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually like reverse scoop, unscooped. And I guess with the gain is maybe 10, 10 and a half. And then the shift in the up position gives you full range. And if you go down, it gives you a low-end roll-off, like for solos and stuff. So I'll do that one more time, and I think cool. That's it.
Almost like gives it like a almost like a wah sound, like a cocked wah, like
yeah.
Really
that EQ is very intuitive as to like how you have your tone set, how you're playing. Like even now playing lighter that second time,
yeah,
it's less of the smush, you know.
Yeah,
I think he has a lighter hand than me, and yeah, I don't know. That's and then he also uses the
just
carbon copy,
yep.
Which
simple
man
delay.
For him it works fucking great. It always like makes me want to try one, and I might after this tour, but I don't know. I've tried in the past. I was like, that's cool. I like what Steve gets out of it for me. Mm. But
just the MXR Phase 90.
The Phase 90, the classic. That's he makes it work and he gets some great sounds. And yeah, it's all he needs. And sometimes, he's also singing, so.
Yeah, a little less to worry about.
Yeah, but I think he gets some really cool sounds out of here, add some texture, some depth. And yeah, he uses this, and then I'll show you the EGC real quick.
Killer, yeah. Last but definitely not least, we gotta give some love to Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin's been great to us for years. I'm really bad with model numbers, but I think it was a Series 2 bass.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we currently use. It's been on all the records since we got it. I don't know. I never even bought another bass. Like,
didn't
I was just
to.
Like, and never had a backup or any of that shit. But Steve's had this one for a while.
You can tell it's beat to hell.
Yeah, man. It's still, you know, just as great as it ever was. It's a fantastic thing. You gotta love the sustain, the pickups, and the bridge mount onto the neck. Tonally, it has that extra low end, kind of just the resonance and this undertone that just stays with you no matter where you're at on the neck. It has an extra body, extra bite. It just has more of everything, in my opinion. He has his unique neck profiles. And this really, really comes out when we go into the heavier stuff. And it just increases the depth.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's, you know, that much lower. And the pedal, the Tetrafet pedal, it actually really brings out the sonic character. Like, it's like a magnifying glass of whatever you're putting through it. So it really just gets gnarly, heavy, and crushing. You really hear, like, as much crackle and as low end as you dial in with that thing. And because it's like, it's like 90 dB of gain. It's, like, insane. We really don't crank them too much.
No.
But it's really just, like, gives you more gain, more forwardness, but it also grips everything you're putting into it, just becomes more forward and clearer.
Hmm.
So like it just really pushes the sound outward in a sense, and it helps, you know, with low tuning because things can get like lost and smushy. So yeah, this is I guess Steve's bomb string guitar, and
yes.
I believe, I don't know what it is here, it is number 292. Yeah, and he put his name there. Yeah, it's a cool, aluminum's kind of been a theme, you know, for certain guitars in the band, and they've definitely stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, Jonathan.
Hey.
Well, thank you for not only going over your gear, but going over Steve's
absolutely.
Gear.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is everyone, this is Chris Keese, working on guitar with Jonathan from Torch. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Awesome. Thank you, guys.